Every so often throughout the course of history, patriots rise up at a time of need for truth and freedom. These people are called disciples of liberty for their undying love of freedom. The call has been sounded. Will you answer that call or sit back and let freedom die away? Unifying patriots everywhere against the evil trying to destroy America's freedom. You're listening to the Disciples of Liberty radio show on the America Out Loud Network. Now here's your host, Tim Alders.
Born free. Welcome to the home of the revolution. Hope everybody's having a fantastic day. I got some hard truths for you today. I want to talk about what John Adams said in one of his early letters about the revolution, that it wasn't fought on the battlefield. The revolution took place in the hearts and minds of the people. The sad thing is that struggle that people had back during the revolutionary days in the 1770s, we are losing in America today. Less than 50% of the people care about protecting freedom and liberty. They would sacrifice everything just to allow government to give them a handout. But Republicans, here's the hard truth. If you do not like what's going on in the government, you need to look in the mirror, because it was the Republicans that let this happen, not Democrats. We know the Democratic agenda. We knew that Democrats' total purpose in life was to destroy everything that was fought for during our first Revolutionary War with Britain. They wanted to turn America into a socialist nation. But it was the Republicans, like the daughter of McCain in Arizona, who spoke out against Trump, like Republicans like Mitt Romney and this Lincoln Project that rose up against Donald Trump in swing states, running ads against Republicans that supported Trump. Here are the people that support Trump, that pick Trump over the country. That wasn't the case. They were picking the country. They were picking somebody who wanted to restore liberty and freedom and go back to the Constitution and take away government control. Yet these Republicans supported Biden. And why I'm bringing this up is because I broadcast on America Out Loud from Utah, and Utah is the foolish state that elected Mitt Romney. Now, Mitt Romney has just came out and said, you know, what Biden's trying to do to the Supreme Court with his executive order to study increasing and stacking the Supreme Court with liberals is totally awful. Well, Mr. Romney, President Biden, or Joe Biden, whatever you want to do, because he's not my president, would not have even had that opportunity if it wasn't for you and the Lincoln Project. Now, the Lincoln Project was a campaign by what they considered at the time, and what media labeled as conservative strategist, known for its broadsides against former President Trump. Well, these weren't conservatives. These were liberals controlled by Russia and China. Steve Smith, who was one of the advisors on Mitt Romney's presidential run in 2012, its most senior leader, resigned amid controversies over a co-founder's sexual advances to young men and accusations of profiteering. Now, during this pack that they made, the Lincoln Project, Steve Smith came out to Utah and bought this million-dollar house and spent a lot of PAC money to increase his personal gain. Now, this was not only founded by Schmidt, who had worked for former President Bush and McCain along with Mitt Romney. Weaver was an advisor to McCain and former Ohio governor. John Cash, Rick Wilson, a Republican and ad maker, and George Conway III, a supposedly conservative attorney and husband of Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway. they went and declared all-out war on Donald Trump in the swing states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Las Vegas, Arizona, Wisconsin. They spent tons of money to go up against Trump. And now during this time, allegations came out against this group, and this group had troubles going on with law. Yet the mainstream media didn't do that. They just said, you know, Republicans against Trump and ran their ads. When the American Conservative and Forensics News reported that Weaver had made sexual advances to men through private online messages, often using his prominent political stature to dangle potential jobs. The New York Times later found 21 men who said Weaver sent them unsolicited, suggestive messages. One was 14 years old. Weaver went on medical leave from the group last summer, issued a statement on January 14th to the news outlet Axios that acknowledged inappropriate messages and conversations. He said, "The truth is I'm gay," quote, "and I have a wife and two kids that I love. My inability to reconcile those two truths has led to this agonizing place he's in." Now, Lincoln Project members wanted to distance themselves from Weaver, saying in a statement they were shocked and sickened. They were betrayed and deceived by John Weaver, yet they continued to work as a group to destroy liberty in this nation. Now, you look at the money that supported the Lincoln Project and these TV commercials. You got to understand, this project raked in nearly $90 million during the 2020 campaign cycle. Major donors that included oil fortune heir Gordon Getty, who contributed $1 million, hedge fund manager Stephen Mandel, who gave another million, and Hollywood mogul David Geffen, who donated $500,000. This was just some of the people we need to thank for the destruction of liberty in our nation. Much of the money was directed to entities owned by the Lincoln Project, principals to produce ads targeting Trump and his allies. Because of the way the super PAC was set up, it did not have to disclose how any of the money was spent once it was directed to individual firms, sparking reports of disputes within the group on how much of the founders were making money through other corporations they had. So basically, these were crooks and thieves, mostly on the liberal side, that formed a supposed conservative organization to destroy the movement Trump was the head of to restore liberty and freedom to this nation. It's just disgusting what was going on. Schmidt went ahead and resigned from the group, insisted he did not know about Weaver's misconduct with underage boy until January, and reiterated that an independent firm would investigate the scandal. He's doing that because he is also trying to run against Senator Lee in Utah. At least that's what the rumor mill is saying. He defended his work. Now, according to everything that's going on in our nation, this was the group that Republicans can look at and say, wow, all these so-called Republicans are responsible for the current state of America today. So that's why I say, you knew what Democrats like Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris, you knew what they wanted to do. But it was Republicans that allowed this takeover of America to take place. We have so many people to thank, and it would be so hard to just thank these people without knowing what was going on. And I always say, follow the money, and let's boycott these people and thank them for ruining our country. I talked about Stephen Frank Jr. donated $1 million. He owns a company called Lone Pine Capital. Boycott it. Send them letters thanking them for destroying America. A group called Majority Forward donated $700,000. Thank you, Majority Forward, for nothing. 1630 Fund, $300,000. Arturus Corellis, $250,000. Now, the Anbrust Corporation, I don't know who they are or what they do, They donated quite a bit. They donated $200,000 three times, all by a gentleman named William Harris. So look them up and make sure that you're not supporting anything that this company does. Do Right Incorporate, $200,000. And the reason I'm doing this and I'm reading their names is it's factual. It's in the FEC database. It's recorded that they made these donations. But liberals are so quick to attack corporations like Hobby Lobby or other corporations that are on the conservative side. Let's boycott them. Let's not support them. Let's make them go bankrupt. Well, it's time to fight dirty, people. You're in the revolution today. Remember, Disciples of Liberty, your money speaks volumes. Don't let your money speak for corporations that are working with corrupt politicians to destroy America's freedom. So we have Aberdeen Incorporate. Alfred Clark gave $100,000. Not employed, but Paul Sullivan, thank you for giving $195,000 to destroy America. Alfred Clark, also from that Aberdeen Incorporation, gave $100,000 multiple times, and so did David Geffen. On top of their million, these people really hate America, and they hated Trump, and they hated the fact that he could organize people against corruption and socialism. Esther and Joseph Klingenstein Fund, the Klingensteins. Andrew, thank you so much for donating that $100,000 to ruin America. And then, of course, Mitt Romney's corporation, Bain Capital, gave over $300,000 to destroy Trump. Yet now he's complaining about what Biden is doing in the White House. Romney, you can't have it both ways. You can't destroy the one man who is trying to restore liberty and freedom in this nation and help put in an evil dictator who's trying to destroy and turn us to socialism along with the Democratic Party and then claim like you're fighting them. This is the problem with Republicans, folks. We don't look in the mirror enough. We don't realize that we have been infiltrated, that there are spies among us running as Republicans, but are Democrats. And they vote Democrat. They get money from Democratic organizations. They tend to talk a good conservative game, but they're really not. And this is the problem with these people. Pilot House Associates, thank you for your $100,000 to destroy America's Constitution. Wolverine Gas and Oil Corporation, thank you for wanting to destroy America. Sydney Jansma Jr. was the person who did that. L.A. Promise Fund, Urban School. What you may not notice, and I noticed this because I started looking up some of these corporations. These corporations are run by highly liberal people, Democrats. So it was Democrats funding a supposed conservative Republican organization to destroy a Republican president who's trying to restore the Constitution and put in place a socialist president. It makes no sense, but we fell for it, right? Bain Capital, again, another $100,000. That all goes to the total I gave you. Gund Partnership, thank you so much, Graham Gund, for destroying America's Constitution. William Harris, not employed, but gave $100,000. How would it be to be not employed? Jennifer North Taiwan Enterprises gave $100,000. Aberdeen Incorporate gave $90,000. SV Angel Venture Capital gave $50,000. American Media, Arthur Kern gave $50,000 a couple times. Hellman and Friedman LLC gave $50,000 a couple times. There's just so many of these. Simple Wishes, MAI Capital Management Group, Richmond Global, Lake Harriet Capital, William Advisors, Bain, there you are again, Fred Hutchinson's Cancer Research Society, Benjamin E. Edwards Company. They all gave so much money to destroy liberty and freedom. Yet, we allow them to be labeled Republicans. Why? Why is it that we do this? And some of the other noted Republicans that came out against Trump was Arnold Schwarzenegger. People like that just it's sad to think what they did to America under the Republican name and gave them the ability. Now, the problem with all these founders of Lincoln Project is that they all have major ties to Chinese and Russian corporations. So when everybody said President Trump, who should be in the White House still, was corrupt and tied to Russia and China, then why would Russia and China be allowing their money to get him out? It makes no sense unless you're betting on both sides of the aisle. Now, I bring this up because we are going to come to what they call midterm elections here. It's time to start thinking and start identifying people within your own communities to challenge Republicans that are truly Democrats, Republicans that voted for the NDAA to take away liberty and freedom guaranteed by God. Another thing the guy in the White House or his puppet masters did was state that, you know, the powers granted in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights are not absolute. Do you not know the word unalienable and what it means? They are trying to convince us that, hey, those rights can be adjusted, tampered with, messed with, taken away if that's the problem. And that's why I said that when John Adams said the revolution happened in the hearts and minds of the people, that the current revolution that we are starting here at the Disciples of Liberty has to be in the re-educating of the American children and millennials on how important the constitutional republic is. And we are going up against odds maybe even greater than America went up against with British on paper, because we're going up against not only liberal colleges, high schools, mainstream media. They just have the voices. There are very few voices left that are conservative, not owned by corporations, not controlled by sponsors that are massive corporate sponsors that give to both Republicans and Democrats to enrich themselves. Now, there was a great book that I ran into in my book library, the ones I kept, and it was called The Road to Serfdom, and it was done by F.A. Hayek. And what is important about this book, and the reason you need to look this up, is Tocqueville, when touring America, came out and made a prediction about America that under certain conditions that people could be trained to get used to, a new kind of servitude could be born up. Now, this was written for the people of Britain, but published in America. And they talk about that when they did the foreword of this book. But there's a little piece in here, and it says, after having thus successfully taken each member of the community in its powerful grasp and fashioned him at will, the supreme power then extends its arm over the whole community. It covers the surface of society with a network of small, complicated rules, minute and uniform, through which the most original minds and the most energetic characters cannot penetrate to rise above the crowd. The will of man is not shattered, but softened, bent and guided. Men are seldom forced by it to act, but they are constantly restrained from acting. Such a power does not destroy, but it prevents existence. It does not tyrannize, but it compresses, extinguishes, and stupefies a people till each nation is reduced to be nothing better than a flock of timid and industrial animals on which government is the shepherd. Where are we at today, folks? Mask mandates, fear, being guided by government, being told of what we can and cannot do. It's just so important that we face the truth that Republicans were complicit in the destruction of our constitutional republic. We have allowed far too many left-leaning politicians to remain in office for far too long. And part of that problem is I voted for this person, I bought the story, and if I all of a sudden turn on that person, I have to admit that I made a mistake. And we don't like admitting we make mistakes, correct? Well, we did, and we are, and we continually do it. And there are so many Republicans that vote for so many atrocious things. Last week, I asked you to talk about a piece of legislation that your representative has proposed, I'm not saying passed, to restore liberty or freedom. And I asked you to email those in to liberty@americaoutloud.com. We have not seen any emails that you guys believe your people have restored your liberty or freedom. I don't care how good a person is. If they have not attempted to restore liberty and freedom, we need to replace them. That's part of this revolution that has to take place over the next 2 years. And I don't know if America even has 2 years. I've said it before, we've lost Washington, D.C. All we can do is try to get voices there for each conservative state that will stand up and say, maybe it's time to divorce and split this nation up. This is the problem we face in America today, folks. You are looking at a situation that might be unsurmountable in today's world. If the Oath Keepers, the military, the police aren't and the state attorney generals aren't going to enforce U.S. code and hold politicians accountable for U.S. code 57311 on their oath of office or U.S. code 8 on providing sanctuary to people coming into this country illegally, then we have basically just stated that our government is an oligarchy above the law. They are supreme. They do not have to follow the same laws. They can dictate laws to us. Now, we are all born free, like my intro music says. But as soon as we're born and we take that first breath, we are putting shackles and chains of the government on our children, our grandchildren, and we're making slaves of our posterity because of our inability to act. And to act properly. We have to stop giving money to the RNC. We have to give money to statesmen. Women and men in our community who will defend our state and our state's right to leave this corrupt nation. We have, as an American society, overthrown so many governments and done so many things that were awful to our own American citizens. The 1965 spraying over St. Louis, look it up. The downwinders, the blatant black ops that we have in this nation that target people who speak out against our own government. So if you think you and we had this conversation at a family party this last weekend when people said one of my relatives said America's still the greatest nation. Well, what's so great about it? We're highly and heavily taxed. We have almost no liberty and freedom left. We're allowed to work and pay government. We can't socialize. We can't get within 6 feet of each other. We have to mask and cover our identities. They don't want us marching, or they'll use whatever peaceful march the right uses, take it over with Antifa or BLM and start riots, and they'll blame us for it. Yet when Portland gets burned, when Minnesota gets burned, when California gets burned by their riots, silence, crickets on the evil that comes from the left. The left arms these people. They give them body armor. They give them ARs, Armalite rifles. They give them the technology to hurt our police officers in the field, the ability to destroy private property, yet they complain about a man who was in office trying to restore our Constitution. And we allow it to happen. So what are you willing to stand up for? Are you willing to take and stop giving your money, stop supporting media that is trying to destroy what remains of our liberty and freedom in this nation? Because there's nowhere else to go. I gave this speech once and I said, you know, America used to be the nation everybody wanted to go to. They tried to build balloons to fly over walls. They tried to dig tunnels. They risked their lives to get their families out of socialist nations into America. But where will the people of America go if liberty is destroyed? There will be no safe haven. There will be no place for you to seek refuge. So America Out Loud is one of the few places. You've seen our new website. You like it. It's amazing. We've got a lot of new hosts. Make sure you're sharing these messages. Make sure you're participating. If you own a business, especially an internet business that you rely on other conservatives to support, become a sponsor of our network or of our shows. Find a show you like and sponsor that show, because that's putting your money where your mouth is, folks. We have to support each other. You have to share these shows on social media. You know, and you might get banned. You might get blocked. Tweet them out. Put them on your Instagram. Put them on your Facebook. Do everything. Go to the bookstore. Get Origins of Liberty. Help the book Origins of Liberty put God and the Constitution as the number one seller on Amazon. Wouldn't that be a slap in the face to Amazon and to Facebook, who won't let us market that book? Because you fundamentally only have two choices in life. Either your rights are unalienable and they come from God and you're born with them no matter where in the world you live, or they come from man. And any man who can get up a strong enough support system or army to take those liberties and rights away from you can put chains on you as a society. Remember, folks, we're born free for a reason, and we'll see you on the second half.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Five incredible years, and we're just getting started. Well, they say time flies when you're having fun. Well, it also flies by when you're on a mission of love. Love of country, that is. Well, our goal is to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. You can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. AmericaOutloud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
All right. right, welcome back to the revolution. You are born free. Remember that. Love that song. Love that I picked it. This half of the show, I'm going to go over a little 33-page book called The Constitution, A Heavenly Banner. It was written by Ezra Taft Benson. He was the Secretary of Agriculture and was also the prophet of the LDS Church, former prophet. He wrote a preamble to this little book, and it said, "My fellow Americans, on the 17th day of September, 1987, we commemorate the 200th birthday of the Constitutional Convention, which gave birth to the document that Gladstone said is, quote, the most wonderful work ever struck off at a given time by the brain and purpose of man, unquote." He heartily endorsed this assessment. It would be erroneous for us, however, to conclude that the document was the sole genius of the founding fathers. Theirs was a combined wisdom derived from heavenly inspiration, knowledge of political government from ages past, and the crucible of their own experiences. We pay honor to the document itself, honor to the men who framed it, and honor to the God who inspired it and made possible its coming forth. And that's what this show is about, honoring and becoming disciples of this fantastic document that gave liberty and freedom to people for generations up until today. Some basic points of the Constitution is the principle of agency. This was the first basic principle, okay? We understand that the purpose of the council in heaven was to announce and present the plan of redemption for the salvation of all God's children. Now, agency is important because shall the people living on earth today have agency to choose the course they should follow, whether good or evil, or shall they be coerced or forced to be obedient? We have lost our agency. We don't even get that choice anymore. Government tells us everything good is now evil and everything evil is now good. They tell us we can't meet with our family. We can't hug our loved one. The second basic principle concerns the function and proper role of government. It is very clear and concise and straightforward terms on what the principles of government should have been. Government were instituted of God for the benefit of man, and that he holds men accountable for their acts in relations to them. Believe that no government can exist in peace except such laws are framed and held inviolate as will secure to each individual the free exercise of conscience, the right and control of property, and the protection of life. He believed that all men are bound to sustain and uphold the respective governments in which they reside, while protected in their inheritance and unalienable rights by the laws of such governments. In other words, the most important single function of governments is to secure the rights and freedoms of individual citizens. That's not where our government's at today, folks. I hate to be the bearer of bad news all the time, but the fact of the matter is, you have two choices in life. And the book Origins of Liberty, as I said at the end of the second half, tells you. The source of human rights, does it come from man or does it come from God? Thomas Paine, back in the days of the American Revolution, explained, "Rights are not gifts from one man to another, nor from one class of men to another. It is impossible to discover any origins of rights otherwise than in the origin of man. It is consequently follows the rights to man in rights of his own existence and must therefore be equal to every man." Thomas Jefferson once asked, quote, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God, that they are not to be violated, but with his wrath." I love it how everybody says Jefferson was not a religious man. Jefferson believed that your liberties, your freedom, Your basic right to breathe came from God. It's not government that controls this. Rights are either God-given as part of the divine plan, or they're granted by government as part of a political plan. Which is it that you choose to believe? Which is it that you choose to teach to your children and grandchildren? Reason, necessity, tradition, and religious conviction all want me to accept the divine origin of these rights. If we accept the premise that human rights are granted by government, then we must be willing to accept the slaves, the chains, that they can be denied by government, that they can take them away, that they can shackle us. I will never, never accept that premise. Frederick Bastiat, one of my favorite political economists, phrased it so succinctly. Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. We did not create laws to restrict liberty. We made laws. We made the Constitution to restrict government. We must never keep in mind the inspired words of Thomas Jefferson as found in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the right to and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. People are superior to governments, folks. You are superior to your government. You're superior to your mayor. You're superior to your city council. You're superior to your governor. You're superior to the president of the United States of America. We have to realize, and we have to take that back, that if God created us with unalienable rights, and they in turn use those rights to create a government to secure and safeguard those rights, that it follows that the people are superior to the creatures we created. We are superior to government and should remain masters over it, not the other way around. We are allowed to say no. We are allowed to say not anymore. We are allowed to say enough is enough, no more taxes. Government is nothing more or less than a relatively small group of citizens who have been hired by the rest of us to perform certain functions and discharge certain responsibilities that we have authorized. But among those is not allowing one half of the United States to elect and get their officials in and say all of a sudden they can take away the rights God gave us. The Second Amendment, freedoms of speech, freedom of religion, they cannot take it away. Government itself has no power nor privilege to do anything. Its only source of authority and power is from the people who created it. This is made clear in the preamble of the Constitution, which reads, "We the people do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." We created a government to protect that document and to protect the Bill of Rights, not to say that they can be abolished, not to say that they are not absolute. The person sitting in our White House does not have that authority. The last thing that you have to understand about the Constitution is governments were given very limited powers. That when the people that had that revolution against England created their government, they gave the government only such powers as they themselves have in the first place. You cannot give away what you do not possess. We did not have the right to tax our neighbors. So what gave government the right to tax us? We do not have the right to take weapons away from our neighbor. So what gives the government the right to do that? So it boils down to this. What powers properly belong to each and every person in the absence of and prior to the establishment of organized forms of government? In a primitive state, there's no doubt that every individual would be justified in using force if necessary for the defense against physical harm, against threats of having his stuff stolen, and against enslavement by other. Indeed, we found that this was important to make sure that we maintain these rights. The individual citizens delegate to the sheriff their unquestionable right to protect themselves, right? We can't always just go out and protect ourselves, so we give it to the sheriff or police. The sheriff now does for them what they had a right to do for themselves, nothing more. If you quote Bastiat once again, quote, "If every person has the right to defend, even by force, his person, his liberty, and his property, then it follows that a group of men have the right to organize and support a common force to protect these rights constantly. Thus, the principle of collective right, its reason for existing, its lawfulness, is based on individual rights." Unquote. So then you'd have to look at the proper function of government is limited to those spheres of activity within which the individual citizen has the right to act. That was what was meant when they said deriving its just power from the governed. Governments become primarily a mechanism for defense against bodily harm, theft, and involuntary servitude. It cannot claim the power to redistribute money or property, nor to force reluctant citizens to perform acts of charity against their will. Government created by the people. No individual possesses the power to take another's wealth or to force others to do good. So no government has the right to do such things either. We have to remember, and it's in the Alabama Constitution, the sole object and only legitimate end of government is to protect the citizens in the enjoyment of life, liberty, and property. And when the government assumes other functions, it is usurpation and oppression. It's in Article 1, Section 35 of the Alabama Constitution. This is why I love this 32-page book that Ezra Taft Benson wrote, The Constitution, A Heavenly Banner. We have to look at the Constitution, and it's not to recite events that led to the American Revolution. We're all familiar with these, or most of us in my generation are, okay? History is not an accident. Events are foreknown to the creator of this earth, God. We have placed faith in the fact that they did this. John Adams, before the signing of the Declaration, said this, quote, "There's a divinity that shapes our ends. Through mortal eyes and minds cannot fathom the end from the beginning, God does." Every true American and true friend of liberty should love the Constitution. This is why you need to become a disciple of liberty. In a letter to the Marquise de Lafayette on February 7th, 1788, George Washington stated, "It appears to me little short of a miracle that the delegates from so many different states, which states, you know, are also different from each other in their manners, circumstances, and prejudice, should unite in forming a system of national government so little liable to well-founded objections." I always say that the founding fathers were not exceptional men, that they became exceptional because they opened up their hearts and mind to something that the Enlightenment era had been preaching forever, that liberty comes from God, and that we want to separate ourselves and become, a free, independent thinking society with a government that protects the God-given rights that we have, not restricts them like the current government and the current members of Congress want to do. The Constitution is a simple document. It consists of seven separate articles. The first three establish the three branches of our government: the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. The fourth article describes matters pertaining to states. Most significantly, the guarantee of a Republican form of government to every state of the Union. California, do you get that? Article 5 defines the amendment procedure of the document, a deliberate, difficult process that should be clearly understood by every citizen. Article 6 covers several miscellaneous items, including a definition of the supreme law of the land, namely the Constitution itself. There is no law that can be made by any government that supersedes the Constitution itself. So when we have a guy sitting in the White House saying those laws are not absolute, he is violating his oath of office and committing treason on our nation. The Constitution itself, the laws of the United States, and all treaties made. Article 7, the last, explains how the Constitution was to be ratified. After ratification of the document, 10 amendments were added out of 139. I wish almost now all 139s would have been put in. The importance of the provisions of the Constitution, first, was the sovereignty lies with the people themselves. You're a sovereign citizen, folks. Every governmental system has a sovereign, one or several who possess all the executive, legislative, and judicial powers. That sovereign may be an individual, a group, or the people themselves. So broadly speaking, there are only two governmental systems in the world today. One recognizes that the sovereign power is vested in one person or a group of people who serve as the head of state. The kind of government rests on the premise that the ruler grants to the people the rights and powers the ruler think they should have. Which system is wrong and which system is more what we have than what we're supposed to have? But the Founding Fathers believed in common law, which holds that true sovereignty rests with the people. Believing this to be in accord with truth, they inserted this impressive imperative in the Declaration of Independence to secure these rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. We have to remember that the reason the Constitution exists is so that we're not a democracy, so that the people that helped Biden steal the White House cannot take away our sovereignty, cannot take away the liberties protected by the Constitution. The separation of powers, which has ultimately been destroyed by our government, and that is one of the scary foundations that we have to face as a society, was to safeguard these rights the founding fathers provided for the separation of powers among the three branches of government: the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. Biden wants to destroy and take the final shot at the judicial and make it totally controlled by a liberal perspective and not a document. We have to make sure that never happens, folks. We have to stand up. In order to avoid a concentration of power in one branch, the Founding Fathers created a system of government that provided checks and balances. Congress could pass laws, but the presidents could check those laws with a veto. Congress, however, could override the veto, and in its means, initiative, and taxation could further restrain the executive department by not allowing them money. The Supreme Court can nullify laws passed by Congress and signed by the president. Not that they ever have. And Congress could limit the court's appellate jurisdiction. The president could appoint judges for their lifetime with the consent of the Senate. But the first strike against this separation of powers was when the Senate was made obsolete by allowing the people of this nation to vote for the senators along with the Congress. That was a huge mistake. Limited powers of government. The powers the people granted to the three branches of government were specifically limited. And they're defined. Yet government has been stretching their powers and destroying it. What has destroyed liberty and the rights of man in every government which has ever existed under the sun, the generalizing and concentrating all cares and powers into one body. And if the Democrats and the Democratic Republicans that we have today have their way, they will checkmark that off of the taking back of power and God's liberties. Our constitutional government was based on the principle of representation, right? We don't have representation now. Corporations have representation. Corporations have taken over our government and have made running for office such an expense that statesmen can no longer get elected. We have a problem with this. And the government was also designed to work only with a moral and righteous people. John Adams said, and he was the first vice president and second president of the United States, quote, "The Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Politicians today do not want to believe you that they need morals or religious people in charge of our government. They want religion destroyed. In recognizing God as the source of rights, the founding fathers declared him to be the ultimate authority for their basis of law. Federalist number 37, Madison wrote, "It is impossible for the man of pious reflection not to perceive in it a finger of that almighty hand which has been so frequently and signally extended to our relief in the critical stage of the revolution." So stop allowing teachers to tell our children God had nothing to do with our Constitution, folks. Stand up for the Constitution. Become a disciple of liberty. We have to defend freedom. We have seen a massive erosion of liberty in this country. We have seen a system where the legislative, executive, and judicial have completely independently from one another, under which is not possible, made itself the enforcers of their own laws. They have become extortionists, oppressionists. They use intimidation, tyranny, despotism. They have used everything that every dictator has ever employed and must employ to destroy agency, freedom, liberty that we have. We need to prepare, folks. The revolution happened. We didn't pay attention and we lost our country. Our country has become a socialist institution that we have to try and get back state by state. Ezra Taft Benson ended, "The Constitution requires our loyalty and support." He said, quote, "I reverence the Constitution of the United States as a sacred document. To me, its words are akin to revelations of God, for God has placed his stamp of approval on the Constitution of this land. I testify that the God of heaven has sent some of his choicest spirits to lay the foundation of this government, and he has sent other choice spirits, even you, who read my words, to preserve it." Yes, folks. You have been chosen. You have been called. Will you answer that call? Will you become a disciple of liberties? Will you stand up and fight? John Adams and Daniel Webster had marvelous feelings of the Constitution. They said, "Sink or swim, live or die, survive or perish, I give my hand and my heart to this vote. It is true indeed that in the beginning we aim not at independence, but there's a divinity that shapes our ends. Why then should we defer the declaration? You and I indeed may rue it. We may not live to see the time when this declaration shall be made good. We may die, Die colonists, die slaves, die, it may be, ignominiously and on the scaffold, be it so, be it true. If it be the pleasure of heaven that my country shall require the poor offering of my life, the victim shall be ready. But where I do live, let me have a country, or at least the hope of a country, and that a free country. But whatever may be our fate, be assured that this declaration will stand. It may cost treasure, and it may cost blood, but it will stand, and it will richly compensate for both. Through the thick gloom of the present, I see the brightness of a future as the sun in heaven. We shall make this a glorious and immortal day. When we are in our graves, our children will honor it. They will celebrate it with thanksgiving, with festivity, with bonfires and illuminations. Before God, I believe the hour has come. My judgment approves this measure. My whole heart is in it. All that I have and all that I am and all that I hope in this life, I am now ready here to stake upon it. And I leave off as I begin, that live or die, survive or perish, I am for the declaration. It is my living sentiment, and by the blessings of God, it shall be my dying sentiment. Independence now and independence forever. That is what we are fighting for, my friends. That is why it is important to support America Out Loud. That is why it is important to share the Constitution. That is why it is important to join the revolution and become a disciple of liberty. You have to stand true to the fact that your rights are unalienable, that the people in the White House and in Congress cannot take it away by vote of Congress. That the Constitution is stronger, more powerful, and the supreme law of the land, not the president in the White House, not the vice president, not Mitch McConnell, not Nancy Pelosi, not the Mitt Romneys of this nation. They are but tools of Satan to take and destroy your freedom and liberty, to enslave your children and grandchildren. They want to take back anything that God has created. That's why they removed God from schools. That's why they have separated you from your religion during COVID. That's why they are forcing you to social distance from your own family. Friends, we have a choice. And the choice is yours. I know the answer that I will give. My liberties and freedoms come from something more powerful than man and more powerful than government. And I will fight to defend them no matter what its cost. Because as the music says, we are all born free.